Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC. And this is the best animated shows ever. So far, where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show eventually.
You know, I kind of liked your NPR voice there, MC. I would That's not mind if you just for. If you just kept up just a little bit of NPR as we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever eventually.
I wanted to come into the episode with a bit more energy than I was putting off.
You wanted energy, so you went with NPR voice?
No, the NPR voice was what was bringing the energy down, so that's why I pepped it up at the end there.
You're here with Troy and MC, and today we're going to be discussing Batman, The Brave and the Bold, Season 1, Episode 3. I like NPR. I don't know why I'm making fun of NPR voice. I like NPR just fine. We are here to discuss Batman, The Brave and the Bold, Season 1, Episode 3, which is called MC.
I do remember this. Evil Under the Sea?
That's what it's called. Evil Under the Sea. That's right. But before we get to Evil Under the Sea, we have to deal with the opening bit, which in this one is Batman versus Felix Faust doing magic tricks. And he's like, check this out. I ain't got nothing up my sleeve. And he like makes a book fly at Felix Faust's head or some shit. And Faust is like, how? You're not some kind of a sorcerer. What's going on? And Batman's monologue, he's like, learning to become a powerful magic wielder like Felix Faust takes years of practice, or you just have to be best friends with the Atom. And it's the Atom. The Atom was shrunk down real small and throughout the books. I guess the Atom can fly, right? He can in Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
He must be able to. Because otherwise, how was the book floating?
I don't know.
He must be able to fly. I think this is a different Atom, though. I don't think this is Raymond Palmer.
No.
I believe in another episode I watched, it got mentioned that this was a different Atom.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that as well.
MC, if you could have the superpower of being able to shrink down real small, is that even a superpower you would want?
No, I don't think I would.
Like, if you could be, like, just MC, or MC with the ability to shrink real small, would you just stay MC?
I might take it then if it's just between those two, but if I could have a different power, I think I would prefer that.
Mm-hmm. Is there any power you'd prefer less than being able to shrink real small?
Invisibility.
Yeah. There's nothing you can do with invisibility except be a creep. That's all.
No, I'm a little bit afraid, especially in... Like, have you seen how people drive these days? And that's when they can see people.
What's the deal with all these drivers today?
Yeah, no, they're terrible. And I would not like to be invisible and crossing the street anywhere.
Do you think people in Gotham are like, goddamn Metropolis drivers coming into our town, they don't know how to drive? Yeah.
Oh, you know what's even worse with the invisibility? Is it just you or is it your clothes as well? Because
no, you gotta invisible, be
naked. Yeah, the invisible man, his clothes don't go invisible with him. He's nude.
Now, MC, I've got bad news for you for your shrinking ability. Your shrinking ability also doesn't apply to your clothes. So you're going to be a very small, very naked man.
Yeah, no, I'm backing out then. And I'd rather just be me. I don't want to be naked anywhere.
It's just a picture of a very tiny naked person. So anyway, Batman's flying his plane, his bat plane, if you will. just cruising around over the ocean in his bat plane, I guess, just hanging out, not going anywhere in particular. And he's like, some strange seismic activity. Better go hang out with the King of Atlantis. This'll be fun.
Yeah, no, that's it. This is that's the start. Really yeah, it's real confusing. It's he's just flying over the ocean for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it becomes obvious that when he starts picking up the seismic activity, it's like, oh, okay, he just needed to be over the ocean so he could get the seismic activity. Right. It doesn't seem to be any other reason for it.
As he's diving into the ocean, he's monologuing about how hanging out with Aquaman is always interesting because Aquaman's just, he's got a real big personality and everything he does is an adventure. Cut to Aquaman recounting his adventures to a scribe or something who's writing his memoirs. And my favorite thing in this bit is that as Aquaman's telling these cool stories, he's writing on the backs of dolphins, which, like, all right, cool. That's a pretty typical Aquaman thing to do. But what I love about it is that he has the dolphins offset so that one of them is higher and slightly forward of the other dolphin, which means he has to do that cool king pose, like the Captain Morgan thing where he's got one leg bent and up. And I'm like, you don't have to do that. You're on the backs of dolphins. They could be side by side. No, you just want to look cool.
It's definitely like Captain at the helm, 1 foot up on a block of wood or something. That pose of like, he's doing that on the back of dolphins. It's ridiculous.
When suddenly, what's that? Harpoon comes flying out at Aquaman, and Batman, like, saves him twice, because first he, like, ejects himself out of the Batplane. Oh, we didn't say the Batplane turned into a submarine. The Batplane turned into a submarine. It just turned into a submarine, dropped in the water. He ejects himself out of it and, like, tackles Aquaman, which would have saved him, but then also the Batplane goes and intercepts the Harpoon. So, like, Batman saved him twice, which, I guess, you know, it's Batman.
That was a giant harpoon.
It was a very big harpoon. It was a big killy harpoon, and it would have killed him very dead. And then Aquaman's like, holy shit, it's Batman, buddy, how's it going? And they do, like, a secret handshake. And then he's like, oh, hey, Batman, somebody else wants to say hi. And a dolphin comes out. And I forgot,
like,
the dolphin's
name. And he's, like, the most annoying dolphin or obnoxious dolphin ever. He calls him.
What's
and
his
he's
name? Like, Fluke. Fluke, yeah, the dolphin. Fluke.
And he's like, get it to stop pulling on the suit.
And then Orm rocks up and is like, oh no, did somebody try to murder you, Aquaman? Oh, golly gee whiz, that's terrible. And Orm...
Brother. Step.
Orm is the brother, yeah. Half-brother, right?
Half-brother. Yeah, half-brother, because mum is the same mum.
What was it? No, are they half-siblings or full-siblings? I think they're full-siblings.
No.
I don't remember.
I was pretty sure Arthur is still half-human, like half-surface, because he says he was living in... The lighthouse earlier or later on in the episode.
That's right, because Jason Momoa's mom hooked up with that one guy who had the weird de-aging technology on him. I remember now. So anyway, he's clearly evil and clearly trying to kill Arthur Curry. And Aquaman's like, hey, Batman, I'm so glad you could come for the party we're having. And Batman's like, nah, man. Check it out, weird seismic activity. And Aquaman's like, an adventure! Come on, old chum! And so they set off to investigate the seismic activity. Yep. Then we go into kind of like a montage where they're just swimming all over the ocean, and everywhere they go, Aquaman's telling stories, and Batman's like, oh my god, I'm so tired of these stories.
But you get some, like, classic Aquaman stories, but... how he names him's ridiculous.
You mean like the adventure where he wore an eye patch to infiltrate a gang of pirates? MC?
Yeah.
That's a good adventure name. Is this where we see Orm and
Black Manta? Yeah,
Black Manta plotting together, and Orm's like, "This is where I'm gonna put my throne room because I'm evil, you see." And Black Manta's like, "Uh-huh, I'm gonna go murder your brother now." And he's like, "Okay." And then a whale and some narwhals come flying at Aquaman and Batman, and Aquaman's like, "Oh, don't worry, I can talk to sea life." But they don't listen to him because they've got weird chips on their head that prevent them from being able to understand his telepathy.
And which we know that because they have glowy red eyes.
So therefore evil. Reminded me a lot of Animorphs book 15, I want to say, where the kids go underwater in order to investigate an operation that the Yerks are doing, where they're attempting to enslave sharks because they are in a vicious battle on another planet with a seafaring race, and so they think that Earth sharks will make good shock troopers on that planet. But the Earth sharks don't have big enough ear cavities, because if you remember, Yerks go in through the ear. And so the Yerks are doing a plot where they've got an undersea lab, and the Animorphs go to investigate as sharks, and they get pulled into this lab and picked up, and a metal ball gets implanted in their skull in order to stretch out their ear cavity. And when they demorph, it's still there and like pops out the back of their heads, and it's freaking terrifying, and I hate it so much. But anyway, this reminded me of that. I don't know if you know this, MC, but this podcast is also like 12% an Animorphs podcast. I'm eventually going to cover everything in the Animorphs by relating them to cartoons.
Didn't you get enough Animorphs playing that horrible game?
It's so bad. It's such a bad video game. But I love the book so much that like, actually, the level that I'm stuck on in the video game is based on that book, so... Hey, look, connections all over the place. God, that game sucks. Anyway, so they're like, hey, this sucks. Somebody's trying to clearly kill you. And Batman's like, I'm pretty sure it's Orm. Your brother's kind of an asshole. And Aquaman's like, well, he was an asshole. But I believe in second chances.
And he's my brother.
So we're going to give him a second chance. And then cut to the party. And Batman's like, I don't trust this Orm guy. I'm going to really watch him for anything suspicious. And Orm... super suspiciously takes out a little vial of something black and tips it into Aquaman's drink in the most suspicious way that he can while looking around suspiciously. And Batman's like, aha, I caught you. And Aquaman's like, caught him what? Flavoring my drink? This shit's delicious. We love toxic, poisonous barb water here in the undersea kingdom of Atlantis. See, MC, Orm's not so bad. Yeah. You judged him, but he's not so bad.
Except that accusation gets Batman thrown out of Atlantis, and then when Batman's gone, Orm gets Aquaman alone.
And he's leveled up a little bit. He went and bought some new gear from the shop in town, so he's got some new armor.
We forgot to mention that Batman's actually getting led out of Atlantis by a couple of sharks.
Does that become important? I don't remember.
Yeah, not really, because Batman sort of handily takes care of it.
I remember that there's a big underwater fight, and I was like, all right, cool. Yeah. Smashy, smashy.
But it's just funny that there's sharks, flanking Batman. taking him out of Atlantis. Like, make sure he gets back to the surface, fine. Yeah, and then they attack him.
Mm-hmm. Because Black Manta's there, and he's like, hey, Batman, real quick, we're going to murder you. And Ocean Master's like... hey, Aquaman, you used to know me as Orm, but now I'm Ocean Master, and real quick, I'm going to murder you. And there's just a whole lot of murdering happening, except for... it doesn't.
Tentacles? Where did the tentacles come from?
Listen, you can talk about the tentacles all you want. You know how I feel about tentacles.
But where did they come from? Is that a sea creature on his back, or is that, like, technology that Black Manta's given him?
I don't know.
Yeah, it really weird. And it acts like a cape when they're not flailing around.
It must be technology. It must be.
Yeah. But essentially, they fight over the trident, and Aquaman gets it back, essentially. And then Black Manta comes up and shooks him in the back.
Yeah, because...
And he's been betrayed.
Batman got back and was like, "Hey, Aquaman, your brother's a bastard." And Aquaman's like, "Shit, you were right." And then he's like, "Hey, Ocean Master, are you really working with Black Manta? Like, dude's clearly going to betray you." And he's like, "No, he will. Oh, he betrayed me." Just immediately. And it turns out Ocean Master... No, God damn it. Black Manta. I hate their names, MC. I hate them so much. Black Manta, the seismic activity is that he's like destabilizing the underwater shelves so that it's gonna like collapse and crush Atlantis, I think.
Yeah.
Is his plan?
I know his whole plan is to destroy Atlantis, and he has helped Ocean Master capture Aquaman, and he
because he needed to get Aquaman out of the way, and so he was having Orm take care of that, basically.
And as Batman's fighting sharks, it seems like Black Manta immediately betrays Ocean Master and ties him up right next to his half-brother with the same device on his head.
And so then Orm, like, basically what happens in the end here is that everybody gets together. Batman, Aquaman, and Ocean Master all work together to save the day because Orm's like, it turns out that, like, I hate my brother, but Black Manta is, like, actually a supervillain, and so I probably shouldn't team up with actually a supervillain to stop my brother, so I'm gonna help him save Atlantis, which is good. I mean, that's good. And they punch it real good, the big machine that's making all the bad things happen. And Aquaman's like, Orm, you did such a good job. And he's like, it was easy, brother. I just pretended I was punching you in the face. Which is like, well, Orm, you should probably, like, see a psychiatrist or something. I think you have some issues that you need to work through.
Yeah, he has some clear anger and maybe a bit of not nepotism. It's the other one where you want to kill your brother. God damn it.
I don't know the name for a disorder where you want to kill your brother. Not familiar with that one.
It is actually a name for it, so that's weird.
But at the end, Batman takes Black Manta to Iron Heights, and Aquaman imprisons Ocean Master at home, and Batman's like, "You're really going to just keep him imprisoned here?" And he's like, "Yeah, but I'm going to tell him all of my stories." And Batman's like, "Oh, you monster. You horrible monster." and that's where it ends, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. I don't think there's anything after that. I think there might be a small scene with Batman leaving. I can't remember.
I think he just swims away as the camera, like, fades out on Aquaman. Yeah. Like, and then this one time, I picked my nose really good, and I called it the adventure of the picked nose, and that's where it ends. It's time for the best and the worst, with the worst first, and I'm gonna go first. My worst thing, MC, is that Aquaman was having a party, which means... there was a clear reason that you could have had Batman going to Atlantis at the beginning of this episode instead of having him just randomly flying over the ocean. You could have had Aquaman invite Batman to the party and have Batman be like, Aquaman's kind of a joke, but he's a good guy. And so when he invited me to this party, I decided to go. But things got interesting when I detected some seismic activity nearby. And then you could have had the episode go that way instead.
Yeah.
Hmm. It seems like an easy fix. How about you? What was your worst thing?
The predictability of Black Manta and Orm's whole thing, so much so that Batman is like pointing it out through the episode, and you're like, okay, Batman, yeah, we get it. We see what's coming.
We do. Aquaman can't see it.
No.
And it almost felt like they were setting it up that was going to be a twist, that like Batman was going to have to learn a lesson about, like, not judging people or something. But no, like, Batman was right. How about your best thing?
I really liked, like, the scenery. Atlantis. It was... I think they did a good job in this show, making it kind of cheesy, but not too cheesy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks pretty. Hanging out under the water. Under the sea.
Talking about the city. You've seen the Jason Momoa one and mm-hmm. how like colorful and bright. I thought they sort of gave that look to it as well. Like when you are on the outside and there's the dome,
mm-hmm.
it sort of looks like all shiny and stuff on the inside.
Yeah, it's hard because of the Jason Momoa Aquaman movie. Like that, the visual representation of Atlantis in that is so cool that any other version of it, I'm like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's right. Fine. Yeah. But I thought it really fit this show.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of fitting the show, my best thing was Batman's outfit, which we didn't even really talk about. But Batman's undersea outfit is his normal Batman costume with three very important changes. Number one, the area on his mask that is normally just Batman face has a clear casing over it that is a scuba breathing thing of some sort. Okay, super cool, super simple.
Yeah.
Number two, his feet, instead of just blue Batman boots, they're blue Batman flippers. Very cool. I dig it. Number three, his cape is still there. Like, from the front, if you're just looking at Batman, you'd see, you know, Batman cowl, ooh, face, and then down on his chest, ooh, Batman symbol. And then between face and chest is the edges of his cape coming over onto the front. But on the back, it's little propulsion jet thingies for him to be able to get around underwater really easily.
Yeah.
And the reason this is my best thing is it connects to the dumb jokes that I've had be my best things for the past few episodes, in that I feel like this costume is a great example of this show knowing exactly what it is. Like, it is just, it is totally perfect that Batman makes the kind of jokes that he does and that he wears the kind of costumes that he does. It's just like, you're not going to watch this show and be surprised at the tone. Like, just a glance at it and you know what you're gonna get, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's our conversation on season one, episode three of Batman the Brave and the Bold, which means it's time to do the mailbag and the big list and pick a next show, all of those important things, right after these messages.
Too young for this trek. The final frontier. These are the voyages of
MC,
Troy,
and Eric.
Their mission to introduce Tyler to strange new episodes.
To seek out the best and worst media in the Star Trek franchise.
To boldly go where several podcasts have probably gone before.
You can listen to these goobers talk about Star Trek by searching for Too Young for This Trek or by visiting probablywork.com.
Is it time for mail?
Mail.
Let's check the mail.
Mail.
All right, MC. We gotta talk about folks' thoughts on Batman, the Brave and the Bold.
Yep.
I put up two different Reddit posts, one on a DC Animated Universe subreddit and one on a Batman subreddit, and actually got quite a bit of feedback. We're not going to go through all of it in depth, but most of the feedback was like, hey, yeah, Batman Brave and the Bold, that's pretty good.
Yeah. A lot of them are... Look, like, I was reading them a little bit earlier. A few people mentioned, like, it's a throwback to old campy Batman.
Yep. Yeah, so let's see. Mr. Sprinkle says it's a great portrait of 60s and 70s comics. I Am Wallpaper says is a love letter to the campy age, the campy Silver Age of DC. Yeah, that was kind of a common thought on it. I want to read this one. Marksman 157 says Brave and the Bold is a goofy show. It's not the Dark Knight trilogy or the Justice League movies. This is about the wacky Silver Age of comics, and it's amazing at that. The show is basically liquid fun and touches on things we don't get to see a lot of in DC media today. In that, he mentioned a couple of things here. He talked about Mongol, Gentleman Ghost. He also talked about Batman from Zurinar, which is that's an episode where Batman ends up on another planet and meets another Batman of that planet. And it's Kevin Conroy, who's the voice of Batman from the animated series. But on this planet, that Batman is like, it's weird. It's like he's Clark Kent. But the new Batman has superpowers on this planet, and so Batman gets to feel what it's like to be Superman for a while. It's pretty fun. Let's see. What else? Usher 1999 movie says, good stuff, overshadowed by older generations, but the younger generations will give it proper respect, which I think is true. I think that goes into the like silliness of it. I think there are some people who it might be too silly for. I could definitely see that. But then there's other people who point out that, like King Matthew 116 says, this is my second favorite Batman show, the first being the Adam West Batman show. And, like, yeah, if you like Adam West Batman, then you will absolutely like Batman Brave and the Bold's Batman, because they're very, very similar, I feel like.
Yeah.
There were a couple of episodes I went and watched based on recommendations that I got on these comments. One of them was an episode called, oh no, I cannot remember what it's called. And also, I've somehow lost the comment where someone recommended it, but I'm stalling. Yeah, it's gone. So there were two episodes I wanted to mention to you that I think were kind of fun. One is somebody, and I'm so sad that I lost the comment, but somebody mentioned when Bawana Beast sacrificed themselves. And I was like, I have to look this up. What is this? And so, first of all, MC, do you know who Bawana Beast is?
No.
Okay. So I have to tell you a bit about Bawana Beast to start this. Bawana Beast is a guy in a loincloth and a luchador mask who kind of talks like a frat boy, and his superpower is that he can say, hey, look at that pigeon over there, and also this ant crawling across the floor. Now they're the same thing, and it's a creature with the powers of both a pigeon and an ant. And that's his whole superpower, is he can look at two animals and make them be one animal with both the animal's abilities.
Okay.
He's weird. Very dumb. But there's an episode where he gets kidnapped by... It's actually a two-part episode, and he gets kidnapped by a baddie, and they're having to try and fight and save the day and save the universe and stuff, and he's like, listen, there's no way that this is all going to go down okay unless somebody takes a fall, and I'm here in the enemy's base. And he freaking dies, MC. He dies in Batman the Brave and the Bold, and they have a funeral for him in Batman the Brave and the Bold, and it's really touching.
Damn.
It shouldn't be that good. The other one, that I was recommended, and I can't find that comment either, was The Chill of the Night, which is an episode where Batman tracks down Joe Chill, the killer of his parents. And it's dark. Like, it is like Batman is out for revenge. And he's so much so that he's like, that there are extra universal forces observing this, and there's one of them is on the side of like justice, and one of the other extra universal forces is on the side of vengeance, and they're basically like placing bets on whether they think that Batman will side on the err on the side of justice or on the side of vengeance. And do you know who plays the guy who is the like supernatural force of justice? Why, it's Kevin Conroy again. That's right. Batman from the animated series plays the voice of justice. And do you know who plays the vengeance god or whatever?
No.
Who take is it? MC. Based on what I've told you so far, take a guess.
Oh, is it Mark Hamill?
Yes, it is Mark Hamill. Yes, it is Mark Hamill. And at one point in this episode, Batman is able to go back in time to a costume party attended by his parents, and he gets to meet his parents at this costume party, and guess what his dad's dressed up? A bat, that's right. And so Batman and his dad get a team up to stop a wacky hijinks that are happening at this costume party. And do you know who voices Batman's dad?
Adam West.
Yes, it's Adam West. That's right, MC. And then at the end of this episode, Batman confronts Joe Chill and he's like ready to murder him. And he takes his mask off and he reveals himself as Bruce Wayne. I believe this is the first time you see Bruce Wayne's face in Batman, the Brave and the Bold. And he's like, you killed my parents. You did this to me. And like, I will have my vengeance. And the gods are like, ooh. And then he's like, no, wait, I'm not going to kill you. And Joe Chill runs out because there's like a villain convention going on for some reason. And he runs out in the next room and he's like, oh my God, you guys, there's this little kid. And I murdered his parents, and then the little kid grew up to be Batman, and now he's trying to get revenge on me. You've got to help me. And Joker's like, hang on. Time out. You're saying you created Batman? And now you want us to help you? You want us to help you? And then they beat the shit out of him, MC. It's very good.
That sounds like the Joker as well.
Like, it's so good.
Wait a second. You created like the worst thing to happen to criminals ever. Right? Yeah, we're gonna beat you up.
We're not gonna help you. All right. So then, the very last things I want to read are not actually about Batman, the Brave and the Bold, specifically, but I wanted to mention them here. One is from Neil Wright, who says, "If you review the best cartoons, then please tell me you did Gravity Falls. I always say you only need to watch the first three episodes of it to get hooked." And last time I checked in with you on this, you still hadn't seen Gravity Falls. Is that still
no,
the case?
No, I still have not.
Okay. Okay.
I have it on my list somewhere, and I've been actually working my way through X-Files lately, so I'm up to like season 6.
Well, Gravity Falls would be a great pairing with X-Files, I'm just saying.
That's what I was thinking.
There's also a comment here from Serial Peacemaker. They mentioned, they said, I think of the Batman cartoons I've watched, Brave and the Bold, the animated series, and The Batman, I'd rank it the lowest, but it's still great, referring to Brave and the Bold. And I said, we were just talking about other Batman series. I don't think I've seen even 1 minute of The Batman yet. And he says, it's pretty fun. Alan Burnett went on record that among all of his work on animated DC, including Batman the Animated Series, season 4 of The Batman was his best. And he's right. The Batman season 4 is an extremely well-written season without a single bad episode. So, the reason I'm telling you about this, MC, because you're looking at me like, but that's not about the show we watched, is I'm going to propose here now our category. We're doing science next. I'm going to propose that our category for the next set of series after that be shows that we think actually have a shot at the top of the list.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
there's been conversation happen about it over in Discord. We've been talking about some shows that might actually top the list. So I think that's what our next category should be.
Fair enough. Yeah.
All right. That's all I got for the mailbag, MC. You know what's next.
We got to head off to the roll.
No, the big list first.
We
got to rank this show. We watch, discuss, and rank, and you're trying to skip the ranking part, MC. I see how it is.
It's list time, MC. It's time to put Batman the Brave and the Bold on the big list. And, of course, there are 27? 26? 27? 26?
I
don't remember how many shows are on the big list. I'm just getting it up.
There are currently 26 shows on the big list. I'm going to start at the bottom. Okay. The worst show we've watched so far is The Legend of Zelda, followed by Biker Mice from Mars is better than that, then SpongeBob SquarePants, Dungeons & Dragons, Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir, Rocket Power, Silver Surfers at the number 20 spot, Star Trek The Animated Series, Mob Psycho 100, Food Wars, Gate, Restaurant to Another World in 15, Pokemon Indigo League, Castlevania, Dragon Ball Z, Men in Black, the series, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is the number 10 spot, and then going up in the top 10 is number 9, DuckTales, number 8, Attack on Titan, number 7, X-Men, number 6, Darkwing Duck, number 5, Gargoyles, number 4, Dragon Ball, number 3, Dragon Ball Z Kai, number 2, My Hero Academia, and the best animated show ever so far is Batman the Animated Series, which is of course the first point of comparison we have to make for Batman the Brave and the Bold. So MC, is Batman the Brave and the Bold better or worse than Batman the Animated Series?
I think worse.
Okay. I think that's fair. It's fun. I think it might be more fun than Batman the Animated Series, but yeah. Batman the Animated Series is like transcendent. It is so, so good, and it brings a tone to cartoons that doesn't seem like it should be able to be there, which I think is really cool. Do you think are we looking in top 10 territory still?
I reckon so. I actually think it's in between Dragon Ball Kai and Dragon Ball Z.
You mean Dragon Ball Z Kai and Dragon Ball? Yeah. You said that all kinds of backwards and broke my brain for a second.
I reckon it's in like that number 4 spot.
Number 4 slot. So our top 5 then would be Batman the Animated Series, My Hero Academia, Dragon Ball Z Kai, Batman the Brave and the Bold, and then Dragon Ball?
Yeah.
All right. I can deal with that. I think that's fair. It's a really good show. I really liked watching it again. And I am excited to see the other Batman shows whenever we get to them. Because I think Batman's gonna pretty often be near the top of our list.
Well, I think one of the reasons is they've got a formula down for Batman.
Mm.
And they tend to make very good shows.
Yeah. I mean, it's Batman. Like, he's got such a great rogues gallery. He's got all the gadgets. He's got the cool car. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of stuff there that can really feed into a pretty sweet show. Okay. Let's go figure out what we're going to watch next now. We didn't come up with a category, MC. But
science. We did that. Oh, we did. Yeah.
Oh, we did. We did. I forgot. It's Science Town. All right. Science cartoons. I forgot to look into this. I'm going to be honest. Do you have one to go in the number one spot?
Yes. Rick and Morty. What do you got?
Rick and Morty. Oh.
Ha. You didn't even think about it.
Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty's on the list in the number whatever spot. I don't like Rick and Morty very much. number two, I'm going to put on The Real Ghostbusters. We said that counts, right?
I didn't disagree. I was like, sure.
All right. What do you got for number three?
Dexter's Lab.
Damn it, MC, that was going to be mine. Dexter's Lab is MC's to go in the number three spot. What? Science. Oh, the Magic School Bus.
There we go, yes.
The original one, because there's a new one. But we're going to do the original Magic School Bus. All right, so here we go. Our role for the next show. MC's grabbing his patented four-sided dice and or a digital dice, and we're rolling between number one, Rick and Morty, number two, The Real Ghostbusters, number three, Dexter's Lab, or number four, The Magic School Bus.
It's a three,
Dexter's Lab. All right. It's always a three. That's a bad die. You need to get a new die. That one always rolls threes.
No, we've statistically gone through and realized it's not always threes. But it just seems that way.
I think it's always threes. This is going to be an interesting one. I mean, I assume you watched a ton of Dexter's Lab as a kid, right?
Yeah.
I did too.
A lot.
Have you watched any as an adult?
No.
So HBO Max just started up here 2 months ago or so in the States, and Dexter's Lab is on HBO Max. And so the other day I was like, oh, hell yeah, put on some Dexter's Lab. And I got about 86 seconds into an episode of Dexter's Lab and was like, this is terrible. I don't know if it's just because it's the first episode or if that show just is not what I remember it being, but like, it was like painful to watch. So it'll be interesting to take a critical look at Dexter's Lab and see how it holds up. Is, I guess, what I was saying.
I just remembered another cartoon that I used to watch around the same time as Dexter's Lab that I thought was even better. The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy.
I never watched that one. I've seen references to it, but I never really watched it. So let's see. There was a pilot episode of Dexter's Lab. We're gonna skip that because it was an unaired pilot, from what I can tell. Or a couple unaired pilots potentially. Oh god, MC, there are three stories per episode in Dexter's Lab. We are going to have to be speedy as we go through them. We can't spend 20 minutes on each one. Okay. No. So episode one of Dexter's Lab is going to cover D-dimensional, dial M for monkey, magnanimous, and maternal combat. Episode two will cover Dexter Dodgeball, dial M for monkey, Rasslor, and Dexter's assistant. And number three, what? The way this is listed on the episode listing on Wikipedia, for number overall, it says 3A-12A for this one story. Did they use the same story in episode 12? I'm going to go check real quick. I'm going to scroll down here to number 12. Number 12 just has 12B and 12C. It doesn't say 12A in number 12. What the hell's going on with this list? Anyway, episode 3 will cover Dexter's rival, Dial M for Monkey, Simeon, and Old Man Dexter. This is going to be interesting. That's a lot of stuff to cover in each episode.
Yeah.
But we'll do it next time. Oh, wait. Go ahead. I was going to outro.
We'll get like those episodes down real pat so we don't spend 10, 15 minutes on each thing. Hopefully.
I hope not. We'll see how that goes next time on the best, I almost said too young for this truck, on the best animated shows ever so far, with me, Troy, and my buddy MC, where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever eventually in a never-ending adventure called The Adventure of Watching and Ranking the Cartoons, Old Chum. And then the episode ends by me saying, don't change the channel. Is that it?
Or is it tune in next time? Don't change the channel.
Okay.
No, just don't change the channel.
You got in my head. I was like, I can't remember what it is.
You just had an MC moment because you're getting MC amounts of sleep.
Jeez, I need to sleep.
Yeah. Don't change the channel.
Stop.
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.